Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Jason Blewett to Racetrackers. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hey, Bill. How you doing? Long time no see and long time no talk. It's nice to be on with you.
Well, thank you. You've had a lot of news since the last time we spoke. The last time you spoke, you said you'd have some announcements coming up, and you have a number of announcements. A couple of them are business, and you've relocated to the Sunshine State of Florida.
Yes, still very much getting used to the heat. If anybody's unfamiliar with me or what I'm doing now, I mean, obviously, many know that I was employed by the New York Racing Association for just under 20 years and was let go out of the blue for the most part in early January. January 5th, in fact, was my last day, quote-unquote, working for NYRA, and it was great. I mean, aside from the – and everybody at some point goes through it. So this is not – I'm not the only person, you know, on Earth right now or in the United States that was let go from a job or a career. So but, you know, it was pretty traumatic, looking back. But again, that job was great. Grew up in the shadows of Belmont Park, in the west end of Floor Park, and learned a lot. I mean, I grew up at NYRA. I graduated even before I graduated CW Post. I was interning in the press box on weekends, and was fortunate enough where when I graduated in May of 2000, I slipped right in and was hired by NYRA full time, and I was able to learn a lot in my 18 plus years there. So long story short, I am now currently employed by the Strana Group, moved from Long Island, from Floral Park, where I was born and raised, down to northern Fort Lauderdale, and I'm based at Gulfstream Park year-round as an analyst and I'd say the lead host. I have some great co-hosting talent that's with me daily, and Acacia Courtney and Ron Nicoletti. But, now currently employed for the Strana Group as a mouthpiece for GP, for Gulfstream Park on the air. And as far as my personal life, recently got engaged a couple weeks ago to my now fiance and Christina, who is from Saratoga Springs. No surprise there. I guess it was, for many of us, destiny that we wind up finding our soulmate from Saratoga Springs. It goes with the territory.
It's happened more than once before. My parents spent their honeymoon at Saratoga Springs, so I have my origins there as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, it's funny you also speak. I'll be proud to point out that I also teach I'm an adjunct professor of sports law at CW Post and LIU CW Post.
That's great. Yeah.
We'll have you when we get a chance to have you next spring. Come up and be a guest lecturer while I do a class if you're in New York. Well, that's great.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's been a long time since I was on that campus, but I have nothing but terrific memories with CW Post. It was a great school, and it was perfect. Having class my junior and senior year there in 99 and 2000, I had class Monday through Thursday, and then so Friday through Sunday, I was able to work in the press box for Glenn Mathis, who at the time, he's long since retired but from NYRA, but he was the head of the communications staff, and it's a long time ago, and the world has changed as far as technology and how we consume our media and horse racing and everything else. But again, he was a great boss going back and learned a lot both in the press box working for Glenn and then, later on shifting down to television full-time with John and Brielle at the helm.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you landed at Gulfstream at an exciting time. Gulfstream, is, as most of our listeners know, has now gone year-round, and it used to be the summer racing was at Calder, and then it was when Gulfstream took it over, they called it Gulfstream Park West, but now it's fully at Gulfstream all year, and you've just concluded a spring meet or early summer meet, I guess, and you're breaking all sorts of records as far as handle goes. You're seeing double-digit, 20% increases in handle on the day-to-day basis and on a full meet basis, and there's really a lot of excitement down there. Can you feel it in the building and among the horse people?
Yeah, there's a great sense. I mean, even speaking on my behalf, there's a great sense of a pride. And I've been in Florida for a total of 5 minutes. Jeez, I started a Kentucky Derby week. May 4th was my first day working full time for the Strana Group at Gulfstream. But it's pretty incredible just looking even before I hopped on the air with you, I was reading Mike Welsh's story on DRF.com as far as just the growth. Again, those double-digit gains, and it's coming off a record-setting championship meet in the real primetime racing season from early December through the Florida Derby in early April, you know, crushing it out of the park with that, and then to really not miss a beat, even though many of the stars, per se, and your bigger stables and some of the top horses wind up going back to their respective bases throughout the Northeast and, I guess, to Kentucky to an extent in the Midwest. It's just been great. I know management is obviously very pleased, and I think it speaks volumes as to what Gulfstream and the Strana Group and Tim Ritvo, PJ Campo, and the powers that be have set their minds to, and the goals and that they've set for themselves, what they've been able to accomplish in just a couple of short years. And it's a great place to live down here. Yeah, it's a little hot, and I'm still getting used to the heat in the summertime, but I get why a number of horsemen want to have a year-round presence here in Florida. And I'll tell you, although there's some cheap racing down here as far as lower-level claimers, big fields are the norm. I don't know exactly what the average starter size per field is, but it's a good number. So I would implore anybody, and look, I was one of these people. I was very much while I was working for NYRA, even during the wintertime. I mean, that was my home. That was my circuit. That was where I worked. That was where I was dialed into. I watched a couple races, maybe some big stakes throughout the country, but I was very much zeroed in New York year-round, even during the winter. So to those people that maybe haven't looked at a race at Gulfstream since the championship meet, again, I know I worked there, but I'm also being honest. It's a pretty good as a horse player. It's a very, very solid product, even at this time of the year, and it's only getting better.
Right. Well, there are some familiar names, and I guess it was an audacious task to try to have summer racing year-round be attractive nationwide, but it seems like they're pulling it off. I mean, you know, the Calder meet, I guess, started what was the Summit of Speed and was a summertime card filled with sprint races, and I guess at one point it was canceled for a year, and Gulfstream has now picked it up again, and he just set all records with the Summit of Speed this last week.
Yeah, it was a big handle day. And I guess, you know, even before talking about the numbers, and again, to the fans and the horsemen and the horses and everybody that's been making the product just so great down here and that has been enabling us to break all sorts of handle records and gain traction for year-round racing at Gulfstream Park, I want to say thank you from and that's coming from a heartfelt place. I mean, fans down here are tremendous, and their unwavering support is just terrific. You know, there's such a, I think, and it goes with basically, I guess, any product in life, that just that the comfort level and the familiarity that the brand name of just Gulfstream Park that it carries, I think that is a big part of telling the tale as to why Gulfstream Park at this time of year, say in June, July, May, blew Calder out of the water as far as comparing handle figures. I just think it's the comfort level and the fact that people really like the brand of Gulfstream Park. And to get back to your original point, 14 races. We ran a lot of races on Saturday, but the handle 12.6 million in Florida in early July, late June. Even with 14 races, that's a hefty number right there.
Right. Now that's big time volume. Before we talk about the Summit of Speed itself, I want to talk about two other things. I guess you're going to run again the traditional card that you have of a full card worth of 2-year-old races. I think that comes up in a couple of weeks. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, that's something, you know, to be honest and being candid, I didn't even realize that we had a full 2-year-old card. And now that you say it, I can remember. I feel like I remember last summer being up at Belmont, or maybe it was early on in Saratoga, I guess flipping through the DRF and seeing one of Welsh's articles and going, oh, that's kind of cool. I can tell you the next real, and I'm not 100% sure about that all 2-year-old racing card, but I do know a real, with the Summit of Speed in the rearview mirror, the real focal point, per se, is the opening leg of the Florida Sire Stakes, and those will be Saturday, August 5th at Gulfstream Park, and those are very rich stakes. I mean, geez, Three Rules was the star last year.
Right.
He swept all of them and obviously came to a national prominence. So August 5th, at least as far as my mind goes, and maybe there is that all two-year-old card before the Florida Sire Stakes, but I do know even management is very excited. I've heard after the Summit of Speed, like the next huge thing is the Florida Sire Stakes.
Yeah, well, that's really, you know, really interesting thing to follow. You had a lot of excitement down there this past few days. You had a rider, Tyler Gaffione, win 7 races on one card, which I guess tied Jerry Bailey's mark from 20 years ago.
Right.
I guess I'm looking at the stats, and he won 7 races. He was second twice, and he was third twice. So in the money in all 11 of his starts, just kind of tremendous.
Just watching him ride, that's been the real pleasant surprise. And one of the neat things, you know, not to go off track, is, you know, taking all that knowledge and stuff and just being at the races day in and day out for almost 20 years, up when I was working for NYRA, but then coming down to a completely different circuit. And, of course, you know, some of the names and even some of the horses who were former NYRA horses that are down here for one reason or another. But it's been a challenge, but it's also been a challenging but exciting process in learning a whole new circuit. And with that in mind, I'd say just watching Tyler ride each and every day, that's been one of the best things about coming down here. I mean, it's really a case, and you've got, and this is not to disparage any of the other riders who are near the top of the, you know, the cream of the crop towards the upper echelon of the current jockey colony at Gulfstream, like Edgar Zayas, Amiciel Jaramillo, and a few other guys. But, I mean, Tyler Gaffione is a budding superstar. And summer meet or not, to just see anybody win 7 races on a card, even on an 11-race card, it was pretty incredible to watch on the 4th of July. He is just you can tell he's a guy who just gets it as far as his confidence, for sure, because he's been winning a lot of races. But what I've been most impressed with, and you can tell whether a rider – for the most part, as a horse player, when you're dialed into a circuit, you can tell what riders are paying attention and what riders are just going out there and riding race after race. And Gaffione is a kid who grew up in Florida, by the way, who you can just tell really has that sort of Ramon Dominguez approach to his work, or even going back to a Bailey approach, where he is just very prepared and very dialed in as to what's going on, whether there's a bias or a paceless race and he needs to get himself in the game maybe sooner than later. He really has been awesome to watch, and just a tremendous athlete as well. I mean, he really has a pretty finish on a horse, very, very strong.
Right. Well, I mean, athletes will tell you that, you know, it's a big part of success is confidence. And once you start doing things right, then you keep doing things right. And, you know, there are times when every move you make is right. And he seems to be right in that area right now. And, you know, so good for him. It's exciting to watch. Well, Jason, I wasn't as tuned into the Summit of Speed as I need to be. Who was the most impressive performance that you saw over the week? And do you think we'll see any of them try to come north as we normally do, try to attack the Saratoga meet from the Summit Speed?
I do, actually. You know, not to cut you off. It was really a terrific day of racing. It was my first, obviously, Summit of Speed ever, and place was jammed. Again, everybody seemed to be betting with both fists, and the racing was really solid. It's very tough. Out of the 3 traditional Summit of Speed stakes, at least the graded ones, where you have the Grade 2 Princess Rooney, which was a winning you're in for the Philly and Mare sprint. Then you had the Smile Sprint, which was a winning you're in for the BC sprint. And then you had the 3-year-old restricted carryback, which featured just an awesome stretch battle. Basically a match race from the 3/8 Paul Holm between 3 Rules and Mo Cash. And it was good to see 3 Rules, even though he won by half a head or so, and it was a very close and desperate finish. It was good to see him back in the winner's circle. You know, maybe in hindsight, connections got a little overambitious trying to stretch him out. After he ran well in the Fountain of Youth, they tried the Florida Derby at 9, and he couldn't stay the distance. They brought him back Freak this day in the Chick Lang. He didn't have the best of trips, rating down inside along the rail in the mud. So it was good to see him back at his home base. And even though he really had to work hard to defeat an up-and-comer or a three-year-old sprinter in Mo Cash. He was solid. If I had to decide out of the three graded stakes who was the best, I'd probably give it to Curlin's Approval, who decimated a field in the Princess Rooney. She beat a very deep field. I mean, the top three or four choices, including a Lightstream, who was the favorite coming in from Belmont for Brian Lynch, all good horses, and she had some questions to answer. She had bombed here back towards the end of March at
right.
around one to two or so, 2 to 5-ish in the inside information. She did not lift the hoof that day. They brought her to Churchill, I think Preak this weekend. She ran a Churchill in the Grade 3 Matron. She was off the board at 4 to 5. So she had a little bit of a identity crisis there, but she was working well and powered away. So she's got an all paid fees trip out there to the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. And I don't want to forget. I mean, you asked me who the best was. It'd probably be Curlin's Approval, but it was very narrow between her and Three Rules and Imperial Hint. When you do sit down and you get to watch these races again, call up Imperial Hint's lifetime cut, look at his resume, and the fact that he was able to sit in the pocket and actually race behind horses before just eviscerating the field in the Smile Sprint. He was very good as well, and he was also, Bill, kind of northeast-based horse. He's from Parks, actually. Very neat blue-collar horse from Parks. I give him some extra points with the fact he was able to ship down to Gulfstream and get it done in early July. It is a different animal shipping down here this time of year. Not that these horses were coming from Antarctica, the ones based up in the Northeast. But it's, believe me, take it from a former New York transplant. It takes a while to get used to the climate down here this time of the year. It's no joke,
right,
you know?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, all three stakes are really good. I hate to do sort of the Gulfstream shill job, but, I mean, that's my honest opinion. They were all good, and if you missed them or didn't get a chance to watch them that closely, all three of those races are worth checking out.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't want to keep you. You're always welcome here. We want to hear from you whenever we can. And congratulations on your announcement of your engagement, and congratulations on your new gig and your new relocation down to the Sunshine State. And you know, we hope you stay in touch with us. And you know, we speak often.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good. If I'm not on for the rest of July, you can pencil me in certainly before the week of, maybe the Thursday night, or even if we talk early in the week and just tape it, you can certainly pencil me in before the Florida Sire Stakes. I know it's probably, that might be Whitney
I
week.
I think it's Whitney week.
Yeah,
right.
But even a quick little pencil in just to say, hey, by the way, I know everybody's going to be watching Saratoga, but, you know, I don't mind, you know, throwing a friendly reminder. And I certainly, you know, although this is my new family, my racing family, my home now, and like I said, I'm very proud of that and the job and the traction that we're gaining day in and day out with the summer meet at Gulfstream. I certainly know the pecking order throughout the six and a half weeks during Saratoga. I'll be very anxious to see the Whitney as well. And I'll tell you, you know, before I let you go, and to be honest, I don't watch a lot of New York racing anymore. I just don't. If I catch two or three races a week, that's probably what I'm watching from Belmont these days. To me, it is what it is, but I did happen to catch a replay eating dinner with my fiance the other night, who's a big racing fan. And what do they do? Are they, well, they got to be looking at the Whitney with Seymour Deeney, right, off that win in the state dinner, right?
Well, you know, Linda Rice, who trains him, said after the race that, you know, everything was open, but they were leaning more towards the Cigar Mile as the ultimate goal back in November.
Uh-huh.
And maybe the method to get there maybe was the Woodward. But she said that, you know, he's finally tried to promise that she thought he always had before he had a bit of an injury as a three-year-old. And, you know, she didn't rule it out, but it seemed like she was leaning more towards maybe the Woodward later in the meet and spaced out to the Cigar Mile.
Wow, okay. All right. Hey, I forgot to look. Did you happen to see what buyer he got for the race?
I believe someone said that this was 113, which
wow.
Was,
wow,
right.
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, it looked like, I mean, you knew it was going to be a huge number. I mean, that was an incredible effort. I think I watched maybe two races from Belmont last week, and I'm glad I actually saw that because, A, I'm a big Linda Rice fan. I think she is as sharp can be, and I would love to see her have a legitimate, I mean, really good. I know he's got the wet track scenario to answer wherever he runs next. I know he's caught wet tracks in his last couple, and they've both been daylight victories, but I would love to see her have a very legit older horse handicap caliber start. I hope that horse runs in the Whitney. I'll be watching the Whitney from the Sunshine State. I hope Seymour Deedy's in the mix. That's all I can say.
But, well, thanks again, Jason. And please, we'll speak to you, you know, before that August 5th week.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. Jason Blue and everyone. Thanks again.
All right. See you guys. Thanks again, Bill. Bye.